living alone has transformed from a rarity to a global phenomenon. Today, over 35 million Americans maintain single-person households, more than a quarter of all homes nationwide, rising to nearly half in major cities like Manhattan. This trend extends beyond America, with Scandinavian countries leading at 40-45% of solo households, and similar patterns emerging across Europe and Asia. What's driving this massive shift? Four powerful social forces have converged: women's rising status through education and financial independence, the communications revolution enabling connection without proximity, mass urbanization creating vibrant environments where singles thrive, and increased longevity, especially for women who typically outlive their partners. This transformation reflects a fundamental value shift, prioritizing personal freedom and self-fulfillment. We've embraced what sociologist Emile Durkheim called the cult of the individual, moving from stigmatizing solitude to celebrating independence. What's remarkable is how this cuts across demographics: young professionals delaying marriage, middle-aged divorcees choosing independence, and elderly individuals preferring their own homes over living with adult children. Yet, this isn't just about changing preferences, it's about economic capacity. Living alone is expensive, explaining why it's most common in wealthy nations with strong social safety nets. The rise of solo living represents both individual choice and collective achievement, a luxury that developed societies can now afford. For many professionals, living alone provides a vital buffer against life's demands. Phil, a Manhattan journalist, has crafted his apartment into a regenerative sanctuary from his high-pressure career. His calm, television-free space enhances creativity and self-reflection. Though socially active, he views his solitary home as essential for balance. Amy, a food magazine editor, finds solace returning to an empty apartment after long work days. Following difficult experiences with family and romance, she views solo living as self-protection until finding someone trustworthy. The experience differs for disadvantaged individuals. In single-room occupancy hotels, SROs, many practice defensive individualism, isolating themselves to avoid harmful relationships. This trend has grown since the 1970s due to industrial collapse, mass incarceration, and reduced social services. Greg, an unemployed man with heart disease, exemplifies this reality. Living in SROs, he positions himself in hallways during health emergencies to be found. Though sometimes lonely, he avoids former friends involved with drugs, explaining, "If he got a problem, you got a problem, because they gotta bring it to you." A 2008 Sex in the City screening in San Francisco exemplified a movement celebrating singlehood as a legitimate lifestyle. The sold-out event united singles, primarily women, in communal celebration. Sasha Kagan's quirky alone concept sparked celebrations across 40 cities worldwide. Though initially a champion of content singlehood, Kagan later recognized partnership's value in personal growth. Others joined the movement. Kim Calvert founded Singular Communications to challenge stereotypes, while Nikki Grist's Alternatives to Marriage project advocates for unmarried Americans' legal rights. Organizing singles remains challenging due to their diverse identities, from those embracing solo life to those viewing it as temporary. This variety complicates political mobilization despite common concerns like workplace discrimination. Among African Americans, never married individuals living alone, particularly women, represent the fastest growing segment of the middle class. This shift stems from declining industrial jobs for black men, mass incarceration, and educational disparities where women increasingly outpace men in college completion. Can families of choice provide the same support as traditional families during crises? Sasha Kagan confronted this question when her aunt, a successful casting agent living alone, was diagnosed with brain cancer. While friends initially stepped up, the intensive care needs ultimately required family intervention. This experience led Kagan to reframe her quirky alone concept to emphasize connection over independence, recognizing that genuine connection requires comfort with solitude. Her shift acknowledges that solo living, while offering freedom, demands intentional community building. Support networks are especially crucial for elderly singles, whose numbers have tripled since 1950. Now, 1 in 3 Americans over 65 lives alone. These seniors spend 10 to 12.5 hours daily in solitude, roughly 80% of their waking time, facing increased health risks, particularly after losing a spouse. Yet most prefer independent living. Only 2% of elderly widows and 20% of widowers remarry. While 70% of elderly widows lived with adult children a century ago, today just 20% do, preferring what gerontologists call intimacy at a distance, a choice reflecting both America's emphasis on independence and genuine desires for autonomy. Singles face workplace discrimination when colleagues assume they have no competing demands. When Sherry Langbert was denied a bonus because managers thought a single woman didn't need it, she created singleedition.com to combat such bias. Housing discrimination exists, especially from co-op boards. However, since the 1975 Equal Credit Opportunity Act, singles have transformed housing. By 2009, they represented 31% of home buyers, with single women accounting for 21%. While pets offer companionship to solo dwellers, singles are less likely to own animals than families. For those who do, pets reduce anxiety, decrease health risks, and provide security. Angelina chose solo living specifically to have a cat. Though solo living can bring loneliness, young adults develop effective coping strategies that often strengthen future relationships. Many become so comfortable living alone, they question giving it up, reflected in half of young singles dating once every 3 months or less. Are metropolitan areas, designed for nuclear families, no longer suit today's world of working singles, especially the elderly and poor? Technology offers partial solutions. Pearl, a 4-foot-tall robotic assistant, helps elderly residents with balance, medications, and emergencies. While robotic pets can reduce loneliness in nursing homes, they shouldn't replace human caregivers. Roseanne Haggerty's Common Ground shows effective housing solutions through projects like the Times Square Hotel Vertical Village, 652 units with shared spaces, including gardens, community rooms, and gyms. Cities need fundamental redesign, compact apartments instead of single-family homes, walkable neighborhoods with nearby services, inviting public spaces and social venues. Good public transit completes this vision, benefiting all residents, but especially those living alone. The rise of living alone challenges common assumptions. While researchers initially feared it would breed isolation and selfishness, evidence shows most solo dwellers prefer their living arrangement, despite occasional loneliness. The popular narrative linking solo living to civic decline is misleading. Urban singletons often enhance public life through increased community engagement. Solo living enables women's independence and can be more environmentally sustainable than suburban family homes. Solitude, as philosophers from the Stoics to Transcendentalists noted, enables meaningful connections and original thinking. In our hyper-networked world, having private space offers productive retreat that can inspire better ways of living together. The solo living trend presents an opportunity. By designing cities, technologies, and policies that support both independence and community, we can transform this perceived crisis into an achievement, enabling people to live alone without loneliness, maintaining independence while staying connected.